Today, we continue with our study on our Articles of Faith as we examine, in general, what we believe about the doctrine of the resurrection. We invite you to join with us for today's study, but first, let's be encouraged by this special musical presentation, Peace in the Valley. Our study today on the Articles of Faith focuses in general on what we believe about the resurrection. Our Article of Faith states, "We believe that the bodies of all men will be resurrected from the grave, that the joys of the righteous will be eternal, and that the punishment of the wicked will be everlasting." And one of the scriptural references that is given is John chapter 5, verses 28 and 29. Here Jesus says, "Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and to those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation." Now this article of faith focuses on what we believe about the resurrection. It affirms our belief, first of all, in the bodily resurrection of all humanity. Secondly, in the blessings of the eternal state for the righteous. And then thirdly, in the endless punishment of the wicked. We begin this study by pointing to the need of having some idea of what death is. A major principle associated with death is separation. And this is revealed in Scripture in three basic ways. First of all, there is physical death. This is the separation of the soul or the spirit, that is, the immaterial part of man's nature, from the body. Secondly, there is spiritual death. This is the separation of man from God, man in his sinful, fallen, and unregenerate state. And then there is eternal death. And this is the separation of the unsaved from God into the everlasting torment and destruction of hell. Now, regardless of perspective, death is viewed as being God's judgment against sin. That is, humanity's fall into sin as a result of disobeying God when our first parents partook of the forbidden fruit in the Garden of Eden. Now, we may distinguish between these different aspects of death, but in reality, they are all bound together. Spiritual death gives rise to physical death, and physical death provides the means either to eternal death or separation from God in heaven, or by God's grace, eternal life in heaven. Now, it's been said, born once, die twice. Born twice, die once. This just simply means that if you are born once, that is, if you experience only physical or natural birth, then you will die twice. You will experience physical death, and you will experience eternal death. If you are born twice, that is, if you experience both the natural birth and the spiritual birth by the Holy Spirit, then you will die only once. You will experience only physical death. Now, what happens at the moment of death? To this, we go back to the Baptist Catechism, question 41, which asks, what benefits do believers receive from Christ at death? And the answer that it provides is that the souls of believers are at death made perfect in holiness and do immediately pass into glory, and their bodies, being still united to Christ, do rest in their graves till the resurrection. Now, this catechism teaches that at death, first of all, the souls of believers are made perfect in holiness. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 23, it states, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, who are registered in heaven, to God the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect. Secondly, these souls pass immediately into glory. In Luke chapter 23 and verse 43, and Jesus said to him, assuredly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6 and 8. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Thirdly, that the bodies of believers are placed into the grave until the day of resurrection. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Now, this question, and question 43, which we will note in a moment, addresses what is sometimes called the intermediate state. And this refers to that state of existence between death, when a person dies, and his final state of existence following the resurrection. Now, when a person dies, he does not immediately reach his final or complete state. At the moment of death, an individual does enter a new kind of existence. In essence, it involves the separation of the soul from the body. When the resurrection takes place, there is a reuniting of the body with the soul. Until that time, the individual is in an intermediate state. Remember, humanity consists of two essential parts. There is the body and the soul, and or the spirit. physical death is the separation of the body from the soul. Now, what happens to the body when a person dies? Well, it's placed in the grave. What happens to the body in the grave? It experiences corruption. This is true for believers and unbelievers. The body was made from the dust of the ground, and in death it returns to dust. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 19. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. But the souls of believers at death are made perfect in holiness. Again, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 23. To the spirits of just men made perfect. The term perfect signifies having reached its end. It means to be finished or to be completed. The term holiness speaks of moral purity, perfection, without flaw, defect, or defilement, completely separated from the effects, the contamination, and the desires of sin. The souls of believers at death, secondly, pass immediately into glory. That is, they go directly to the very presence of Jesus Christ. In Philippians chapter 1 and verse 23, Paul writes, "For I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better." Now, question 43 of the Baptist Catechism asks, "What shall be done to the wicked at death?" The answer that it gives is that the souls of the wicked shall at death be cast into the torments of hell, and their bodies lie in their graves till the resurrection and judgment of the great day. Luke chapter 16, verses 23 and 24. "And being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. Then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." Acts chapter 25 and verse 15. "I have hope in God, which they themselves also accept, that there will be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust." 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. "Then the Lord knows how to deliver the ungodly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment." Now, according to question 43, the souls of the wicked at death are cast into the torments of hell, and their bodies also are placed in the grave until the day of resurrection and judgment. Now, these questions 41 and 43, deny, first of all, universalism. That is, that ultimately everyone is going to be saved and will therefore be in heaven. These questions also deny what is called soul sleep. That is, a state where the soul has no conscious existence following death until the resurrection. These questions also deny what is called purgatory, an intermediate place between heaven and hell, where ordinary believers go to suffer temporal punishment for their sins until they have purified themselves. Questions 41 and 43 teach that the bodies of both the saved and unsaved remain in the grave until the day of resurrection. The body is part of God's plan of salvation as well, not just the soul or the spirit. The body is also part of God's plan for His righteous judgment against sinners. According to question 41, the bodies of believers are said to still be united to Christ. The body sleeps in the grave, but the soul is in heaven with Christ. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 14. "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with Him those who sleep in Jesus." This intermediate state is not the complete or final objective in God's plan for His people or the unsaved. There is a final state which begins at the resurrection. Our article of faith states, we believe that the bodies of all men will be resurrected from the grave. Question 42 asks, what benefits do believers receive from Christ at the resurrection? The answer that it gives is that at the resurrection, believers become raised up in glory, shall be openly acknowledged and acquitted in the day of judgment, and made perfectly blessed in the enjoyment of God to all eternity. According to this question, at the resurrection, believers, first of all, become raised up in glory. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 35, and then in verses 42 and 43, but someone will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. Secondly, at the resurrection, believers will be openly acknowledged and acquitted in the day of judgment. Matthew chapter 25, verses 32 through 34 and verse 41, all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them from one another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Then he will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Thirdly, at the resurrection, believers will be made perfectly blessed in the full enjoyment of God to all eternity. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2, beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 in verse 9, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the hearts of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Bodily resurrection has always been a central theme of the Christian faith. After all, what kind of resurrection did Christ experience? In John chapter 20 and verse 27, Jesus said to Thomas, reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. Now, what is meant by resurrection? The term resurrection literally means to stand up again. Theologically, it refers to that time when the physical body that has been decayed in the grave will be raised up and reunited with the soul that has already departed and gone on to be either in heaven or in hell. But here for believers, it's the soul that has departed into heaven. Now, this resurrection is true for both the saved and the unsaved. However, in Scripture, the primary emphasis is on the resurrection of believers. When Jesus Christ comes again, there will be a bodily resurrection from the grave of both the saved and the unsaved, reuniting the souls of men to their resurrected bodies. In John chapter 5, verses 28 and 29, Jesus says, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and to those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. For the saved, this will be marked by the immediate perfecting of the bodies of believers. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 21, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. For the unsaved, there is a reuniting of their soul to a corrupt body in which the individual will be cast into the everlasting torments of hell. Matthew chapter 13, verses 49 and 50 says, so it will be at the end of the age
the angels will come forth, separate the wicked from among the just, and cast them into the furnace of fire. Question 41 of the Catechism asks, what shall be done to the wicked at the day of judgment? And the answer that it provides is that at the day of judgment, the wicked will be raised to dishonor, shall be sentenced to the unspeakable torments of body and soul in hell with the devil and his angels for all eternity. In Daniel chapter 12 and verse 2, and many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting condemnation. Now, our article of faith affirms our belief in the bodily resurrection of all humanity. It affirms our belief in the eternal blessings of heaven for the righteous, and it affirms our belief in the everlasting punishment of hell for the wicked. The London Baptist Confession of Faith, 1689, when dealing with the last judgment, says, "The end of God's appointing this day is for the manifestation of the glory of His mercy in the eternal salvation of the elect and of His justice in the eternal damnation of the reprobate." It goes on to say, as Christ would have us to be certainly persuaded that there shall be a day of judgment, both to deter all men from sin and for the greater consolation of the godly in their adversity, so will He have the day unknown to men, that they may shake off all carnal security and be always watchful, because they know not at what hour the Lord will come, and may ever be prepared to say, "Come, Lord Jesus, come quickly."
Amen. Until next week, may the Lord bless you, is our prayers.